I've had a lot of conversations with Matt about a lot of different things, and many of them end in tears, and I love that about him. And this morning might end in tears too. It's not a normal Sunday morning. I said to Katie, I don't prepare things. I just kind of speak from the heart. So I'm going to speak from the heart this morning. I have to communicate something to you that's a little difficult to do. All right. And the only way I know how to do it is just come out and say it. I have resigned from Preston City Bible Church, from leadership. And my family and I are going to be leaving. This will be our last Sunday. I want to talk about what this is not before I talk about what it is. Okay? I have not had any kind of a moral fall, in case that was on your mind. Okay? Haven't had any kind of sin that would bring shame on you or shame on Christ. I have no doctrinal disagreement with this church. That's not even anything that has any part to do. I feel as strongly about the doctrinal statement and what we believe as much as I ever have. Matter of fact, stronger, because I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot. I have not diminished in my love for you one bit, and I hope you haven't diminished in your love for me and my family. I love you. I've tried to say that every time I've spoken in this church, that I love you. And when I speak to you individually, hang on a second. Here you go, Matt. You know, I've been telling my son, humor is such an important part of life and being able to just bring everything down a little bit. Okay, so thanks for being the butt of that one. I need those back in a minute, by the way. I'm also not stepping away from ministry. Okay? I'm not stepping away from ministry. What was true about my passion and my belief that my life is about serving is as true today as it was yesterday. It's just going to be a little bit different. It's going to be a little bit different. So there's probably some other things I could tell you about what it isn't, okay? But let's talk about what it is, what my reason is, what our reason is, okay? For the past year in particular, but really longer than that, we've been maintaining a pace of life that's just simply unsustainable. It's just unsustainable. Many of you may or may not know, but my family and I live an hour from here. My shop where I work, and by the way, I do have a full-time job, where I do put in anywhere from 50 to 55 hours a week. I'm part of a management of a small business. Is it easy to be the manager of a small business, Joseph? No, it's not easy. Okay. Put in a lot of hours at work. Also, I'm the president, chairman of the board of Child Evangelism Fellowship in Rhode Island, which has not gotten as much time as it needs to from me. And that's not right. But most importantly, I'm a dad. I'm a husband and I'm a father. As you know, we homeschool our children. And I can tell you, and I'm not proud of what I'm about to say, but I have said no to my son and my daughter more in the past year than I ever have in my life, and I ever want to again. Daniel came down 3 weeks ago. He said, Dad, can you look at my math? The math that he had done earlier in the day. Can you look at my math? I said, I can't right now, buddy. I'm just too tired. That's not right. That's not right. That's not fair. God put me on this earth to be a father to these children and to be a husband to this woman. That's not fair. Okay? Many, many times over the last year, he has said, on a Saturday morning after we make pancakes. We have protected pancakes on Saturday morning. He has said, "Dad, what are you doing for the rest of the day?" And I've had to look at him and say, "Bud, I got to study. I got to work. I'm preaching tomorrow." He said, "Okay, Dad, I understand." How many times does that have to happen? How many times does that conversation have to take place before you make a change? How many times do I have to see Katie doing things around the house that I should be doing, covering for me? How many times before you make a change? You know, and so I have to do this. I have to do this. That's one reason. The second reason is I can tell you absolutely 100% I am not having a breakdown. I am not at the point of exhaustion, but I'm 6 months away. All right, I'm 6 months away. And if I got to that point, that would be terrible. That would be hurtful to a lot of people. I can't allow myself to get to that point. And the other thing really is a big part of this is Child of Angels and Fellowship of Rhode Island. All right, someone has to work on this ministry because there's a lot of potential. What you just heard from Matt, that is happening in Rhode Island as well. But it's not happening as much as it could be if I was spending more time visiting churches, developing relationships, building church partnerships. I can't do that if I'm preaching here every Sunday. And that's not to say it's a greater thing or something that I would rather do than be preaching here every Sunday. But when you take the whole package, everything I just said, you know, as a package, not as a isolated thing, it kind of fits. I need to be spending time out there meeting pastors and trying to build the ministry, God's ministry. And God will build it, but He wants to do it through somebody. And right now, I'm that person. I haven't made this decision in anger at anything. I have absolutely no emotional baggage with this decision at all. I have consulted people who are wise and who have directed me, I think, biblically and godly. I don't think you would be surprised to know that one of those men is John Romano, who I spent 4 hours talking to last Saturday. I happened to be up in Maine. I was in Maine last Saturday. So I don't want anybody to get the idea that I made this decision in haste. It was not a decision made in haste. It was a decision made that was well thought through, prayed over, and I consulted with those who you would expect me to consult with. It's a decision that my family supports, and in talking to some of you, by the way, I wish I could have met with every single one of you and talked to you face to face. I worked all last week. I couldn't do that. I did meet with some of you. I did talk to some of you. I spent some time yesterday with Nell. Hey, Nell, I love you. And we get a chance to talk through this, and she's okay with this. Okay? So, there's that. What will change? Well, I won't be preaching every Sunday. This will be it. At least, look, I'm not closing the door on anything, okay? But as far as I can see, that'll be hard. That'll be hard. I won't be physically here. All right, but the body of Christ transcends the local church. The local church is a vital part of the equipping ministry of the church age. Obviously, I agree with that. Obviously. All right. But relationships are not defined by the local church and the body of Christ. They're defined by Christ. By the way, I hope you can make a call tomorrow morning. Adam and I pray every morning, and Joseph, we pray every morning. Adam, we're going to pray tomorrow morning? Yeah, we're going to pray tomorrow morning. Okay? I'm going to go and see Nell this week at some point. My family's going to go and see Nell at some point this week. You're coming over tomorrow, right? Okay. Greg will be coming over. I got to get that lawnmower from you. Okay? All right? That's all going to continue. Nothing's going to change. Nothing. Okay? Matt, we going to pray together? When are we getting together with Jay? All right. I talked to him the other day. Soon. Okay? All of that is going to continue. None of that will change. I hope. It's not going to change from my standpoint. It will not change from my standpoint. I can promise you that. I can absolutely promise you that. I still believe I'm a pastor and I will continue to serve. That will not change. That will absolutely not change. Okay? Now, the last thing, we're going to go to scriptures because I'm going to stop all this. All right? But it was important that this get communicated correctly. There are two things that I told my son. We had a family meeting on Saturday. By the way, you might be interested to know how I came to this decision. I went to bed Sunday night thinking that I was going to do this. Okay? And I thought about it and I prayed about it. And I said, I'll know when I wake up in the morning. I'll know tomorrow morning when I wake up. And I'm telling you, God woke me up at 4:00 in the morning with just this obvious, this needs to happen now. And I sat down, I wrote a letter. It took me an hour and a half to write that letter. I sent a letter to Mike and David. Why did I send it in a letter? Because I wanted them to process it and to read through it and to think about it and pray over it before we talked, so that nothing got misunderstood. And that's exactly what happened. I said, read this and let's talk later. And that's what we did. We talked and it was great and everybody understood. And I think that's the way it should be. There's two things that I want to model for my son. He's sitting there looking at me. Okay. And I want to speak to him about this, and I already have spoken to him about this. I'm just going to look at him for a second, okay? You and I sat down on Monday, and we had a conversation, right? And it's important that you know that I'm the same guy in our living room that I am up here, that nothing changes. I'm not one guy up here and then one guy at home, okay? And I said two things that I wanted to model for you, and I'm going to ask you afterwards if you feel like I'm doing a good job. One of them is how to say goodbye. A lot of people don't know how to say goodbye. Okay, and we're going to say goodbye in a way that honors God, in a way that shows our love, right? And in a way that leaves people understanding the reasons, and maybe they're disappointed, but they know how much you love them, all right? And the other is how to deal with a season of change, and deal with a season of change. And this is what I want to springboard into, what I want to talk about this morning, a season of change. Okay, how do we deal with seasons of change? How do we deal with, we're going to have seasons of change. My son is blessed to have a lot of older men in his life, more than I had growing up, although I did have a couple very special older men in my life. He has more. And we had this discussion about God's going to start taking some of these men home. And he's going to have to deal with that. And I'm going to have to deal with that, but I'm going to have to deal especially with having to watch him deal with it. Those seasons of change, they can break us. They can really throw us for a loop sometimes. And this whole thing is throwing me for a loop this week. Had a board meeting for CEF on Tuesday. I had to cancel it. Why did I have to cancel it? I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. I'll be perfectly honest with you. The first time in my life I've ever canceled something. That I can remember. First time in my life that I've ever been responsible for something, that I've ever had people who were planning on something, and I had to say, I'm canceling it. I couldn't do it. Why? Well, because this whole thing is just, it's been all over the place this week. So I canceled a board meeting, and everybody understood. Okay? I'm dealing with migraines. First time in my life I've ever dealt with migraines. All right? Went into work the other day, I went to pull a handle on the door. I said, why did Tony take the handle off the door? It looked like a nub. And then I looked this way, and the handle's right there. That's what migraines do. It's related to stress. All right? I'll be honest with you. It's been stressful. It's been a hard week. It's been a hard week. Okay? These things can break us. They can break us. But what prevents us from being broken is grabbing onto something that cannot change. that cannot change. All right? If you're flailing away in the water, you need to grab onto something that is secure, going to prevent you from drowning. That's how you prevent the boat from sailing away. Okay? You anchor it. You anchor it. We have to anchor ourselves to something that won't change. And so I thought about what I wanted to say this morning, and my thoughts just went right to Hebrews 13:8. What does Hebrews 13:8 say? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay? We're going to go through seasons of change in life. Loved ones are going to die. People are going to leave. Children are going to grow up and get married. Those are hard things. Those are things that could destroy us. Okay? And if we didn't have Christ to anchor our thoughts to, they would destroy us. So I thought about, here we go with threes again, right? But I did think about, all right, how exactly does Jesus Christ being the same yesterday, today, and forever impact how we approach our lives? And just the daily practical, hands-on realities of life. How does it relate? How does it relate? The permanency of Jesus Christ, way more than what we're going to talk about this morning, way more examples of this than we're going to talk about this morning. But I want to give you three. I want to give you three. Okay? The first one we find in Hebrews 7, which is he's a permanent priest. A permanent priesthood. What is a priest? A priest is an intercessor. A priest is someone who can relate to both parties involved in a mediation, in a relationship. A priest can bridge the gap because a priest understands both sides of it or can relate to both sides of it. Jesus is the God-man. He's fully God. All the fullness of deity dwells in him. He did not sacrifice or diminish any deity when he took on flesh. None. None at all. Okay? But he's also fully human. He was born. We're going to celebrate it in 10 days. He was born a baby in a manger. He was born into a real family who had real struggles and real problems. When we go and read the birth narrative of Jesus, you think about what these people went through. I mean, my goodness. All that traveling. She's pregnant. All the traveling. They had no money for accommodations. I was reading a commentary by Dwight Pentecost in The Words and Works of Jesus Christ about the accommodations. And he explained, I think it's called a khan in the Jewish word. And he explains what it is. There's no front wall. It's dirt floors. It stinks of, you know, animals, and it's terrible. And then he says, and there was no room for Jesus and Mary and Joseph in that section. They had to go downstairs. They had to go to the other place. Right? Think about that. Think about a family welcoming the birth of a child, let alone the Messiah. Think about even before then, Joseph having to deal with, Mary's pregnant and I've never touched her. I've never been with her. And that whole, the gut, what he must have felt in his gut. What he must have felt in his gut. And then having to flee because the most powerful man in the world, maybe at that time, or at least who has authority over you, is coming to kill that baby. And so they had to flee. No money. These are real struggles, real problems. This is what Jesus was born into. This is what Jesus was born into. Yeah, he's fully human. Oh, yeah. He's fully human. So we read here, in Hebrews 13. I'm sorry, Hebrews 7. My mistake, Hebrews 7. Talking about a priest in the order of Melchizedek, and that's a whole wonderful study in and of itself. okay? The study of Melchizedek, going back to Melchizedek's interaction with Abraham. That's not what we're necessarily going to, we're not going to talk about that this morning. But I just want to read here in Hebrews 7:23, talking about the difference between the Aaronic Levitical priesthood and that of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 23 of chapter 7, now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Now, I think about Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we read this, this permanent priesthood, and the impact that a permanent priesthood has on our lives. The fact that the salvation that was paid for at the cross continues forever. There's nothing that can undo that salvation. There's nothing that can undo what Jesus did for us. Nothing. It's not possible. It's not possible. He lives forever. He lives forever. His salvation is forever. And he lives to make intercession on our behalf forever. That means that we have the God-man at the right hand of the Father who understands, remember that passage in Hebrews 4, tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. He understands what it's like to be us. He understands what it's like to walk where we walk. He understands what a season of change looks like. Read the account in Gethsemane. I mean, my goodness. Read Gethsemane. Read that in Matthew. Just the gut-wrenching crying out that existed there. The suffering, the struggle, the temptations in the wilderness, those were real. He hadn't eaten in 40 days. He knows what it's like to be us. And he is at the Father's right hand, and he has made propitiation for our sin. He is an advocate. He is an advocate who is acceptable in the eyes of God, because he is the only one who ever perfectly obeyed the Father's will. And his work on the cross satisfied the righteousness of God on our behalf. Now, does that not bring us comfort? Does that not bring us joy and peace in times of change? That we have our Lord Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, who will never change, whose salvation will never change because he lives forever? I say absolutely. A permanent salvation, a permanent intercessor, a permanent life. I think about the account. You think, you go back to Mary coming and looking for Jesus' body, and the angel being there. He's not here. He's not here. Right? She says, I want to know, you know, where you laid the body or where you took the body. And then she's talking to Jesus. She doesn't realize she's talking to Jesus. And then Jesus says, Mary. And I think about that passage in John 10, that my sheep will know my voice. Mary. All he had to say was Mary. For some reason, she didn't know who he was before, but when he said Mary, she knew who he was. She said, Rabbi, Rabboni, Rabboni. The joy that came over her. And think about it. When he died, when he was crucified, what that did to Mary. Oh, she was crushed. She was crushed and confused. And now she's staring. She's staring in the eyes of her Savior. And he says, Mary. And here he is. Well, that joy that she had, that's the same joy we can have. Because the same Jesus who was alive at that moment is alive right now. Right now. There's nothing that's going to change that. Nothing. Circumstances might change here. There is nothing that will ever change that reality that Jesus is alive and he's at the Father's right hand. That joy that Mary had, we can have that joy. We should have that joy. And if we tie our joy to that, we will be able to fulfill that command to rejoice always. So the first thing is a permanent priesthood. The second is a permanent example. A permanent example. Now, the death of Christ on the cross was substitutionary atonement. Unfortunately, in a lot of Christianity today, the emphasis has been placed more on the moral example of Jesus than the substitutionary atonement, which is unfortunate. But as long as we understand that first and foremost, he paid for our sins on the cross, he purchased our salvation on the cross, we can truly just allow ourselves to just revel in the reality that he is our example. We can just bask in it. We can just bask in it. You know, I think every one of us in our hearts is looking for an example. I think we were created that way. Because I think that we're all created to look to Christ, fix our eyes on Christ. So I think God created us with this desire to look up to somebody. I have no doubt. I know I have that. To look up to somebody, to appreciate the example of someone. I think that's why older men, younger men, older women, younger women, it's just so rich. I love it. I love it. You should love it too. But the reality is, we're all flawed. We're all flawed. I look up to Mike. But you're flawed. You know, my son looks up to me, but boy, has he seen me make mistakes. I'm not a perfect example. And, I look back on people who I've looked up to in the past. And while I hang on to things that I appreciated about them, at the same time, as time passes, I realize more and more how truly flawed they were. And the example that they set is one which I have to kind of be a little discerning about and say, you know, I really appreciated that about this person, but not so much over here. And the passage of time sometimes a person you're looking at like this is the perfect example for me in my life. And then the passage of time, as you grow, as you learn, as you mature, you realize that what you thought was this perfect example, it kind of got cloudy and in some cases faded away entirely. That's not the case with Jesus. That's not the case. The example that Jesus set for us with his life, with his death, with his resurrection, okay? The perfect obedience to the Father's will, his perfect love, his perfect self-sacrificial love. When he said, I give you an example, when he washed the feet of the disciples, it's timeless. It never stops being the perfect example for us. Ever. Ever. The passage of time will never diminish the perfect example of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we're learning something, or we think we're learning something, or we think that we're taking on something, and it starts to contradict the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, then we're the ones that are wrong over here, not him. Not him. I read in 2 Peter 2. Second Peter 2, starting in verse, am I right here? 218. First Peter, I'm sorry. First Peter 2, starting in 18. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect. Not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. It's a perfect example. We use that term all the time. This is a perfect example. This is a perfect example. This truly is a perfect example. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he didn't retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. That's a perfect example. When we are wronged, we love. When we are wronged, we love. We take it to the one who judges justly. Perfect example, our Lord Jesus Christ. The third reality that is permanent in Christ is our identity. Our identity in Christ. In the Upper Room Discourse, John 15, if you could go there. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener or vine dresser. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will bear even more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. He's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere. Everywhere you are, he is. But he's asking you to remain in him. How is that done? See, the issue is not Christ remaining in you. The issue is you remaining in Christ. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. My words remain in you. And the word of God is alive and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Okay? It's alive. It's not dead. The word of God is not just words. It's the living, breathing word of God. And what Jesus is saying is if my words abide in you, if my words remain in you, if the word of Christ dwells richly within you, I will remain in you. I will remain in you. It's permanent. It's permanent. And if he remains in us because we abide in his word, then we will be able to bear much fruit, which is the purpose for our life. Remember, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he has prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. The permanent love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now remain in my love. How do we remain in his love? If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love one another as I have loved you. The permanency of the love of Christ. The permanency of the love of Christ is in each and every one of us if we obey his commands. And what is the great command? To love one another as I in Christ Jesus have loved you, that you love one another. For by this the world will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That's not changing. That's not changing now or ever. We live in a world that is changing constantly. It never stops changing on the surface. But really, nothing's really changing. It's just the same old sin of I'm going to do it my way, not God's way. That's all. That's all. It's just boxed differently. It's just packaged differently. But I will say, the more and more we really observe one another, the more we realize how less and less happy we are. As a society, as a culture, the less and less happy we are because nothing satisfies us anymore. And here we have Jesus Christ, our perfect Savior, our perfect High Priest, our perfect example, who's saying, I haven't changed. I'm right here. The decision is yours. Are you going to abide in me? Because if you're abiding in me, I'm abiding in you. If you're abiding in me because my words are abiding in you, I'm abiding in you. And you will bear much fruit. The question is, are you going to abide in me? Are you going to abide in me? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I know this morning is hard. It's hard for me too. It's really hard. It's tough. It's tough. Okay? I love every one of you guys. And I know you love me. I don't have to ask you or say I hope you do. Because that would be insulting. You show me. You show me. And I hope that you feel that I show you sufficiently as well. Because I do. And that's not going to change. Because the love of Christ is bigger than that. It's bigger than the goodbye we're saying right now. It's bigger than that. It goes on because of the permanency of Jesus Christ. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know? And, you know, I was talking to Mark this morning, and he was telling me he's going to be speaking on the 30th. Is that right, 30th? That's awesome. That's fantastic. That is fantastic. You know, a little plug to Mark. I can tell you, anybody I know that prays more than this guy. And I hope, and I told him, I hope he shares his prayer life. I hope he shares how he approaches his prayer life. Because it's an example. It's been an example to me. Okay? I will continue to pray for this body. And I am not, by the way, I still live at 7 Mile Road in Hope, Rhode Island. I haven't moved. I'm not moving. I don't think we're moving anytime soon. Okay? We're not moving anytime soon. And I know where this church is. And I will be visiting. We will be visiting. But please pray. I have one chance to, we have one chance to raise our children right. Just one. And I would be totally out of line, and she doesn't want me to do this. I would be totally out of line if I didn't tell you publicly how much I love you. I have told many of you how much I adore Katie, privately, in our private conversations. Okay? She's my best friend. You are my best friend. I love you so much. And I cannot express in words how much I adore you. You are the most special person in my life. And I am blessed beyond all measure. And I just want to say that publicly so everybody hears me say it. Because I think I've said it privately to almost all of you how much I adore Katie. And I just want to say it to her publicly how much I adore her. Okay? I'm an open book. Kathy said this to me last night. It kind of surprised me, last night or the night before. She kind of surprised me when she said it. She goes, you're an open book. And I'm like, well, that's what I've always wanted to be. I've always wanted to be an open book. I got nothing to hide. I don't want to hide anything from you. I'll tell you anything you want to know. Some things you might not want to know. But I will. Call me. Call me. Pull me aside. Come and see me. I'm one of those old school guys that actually likes when people come and ring the doorbell. Right? I actually like it. I enjoy it. I like hearing the doorbell ring. I'm kind of old school that way. You know, I don't run under the table like what's his name says, right? You know, big comedy skit about how people approach the doorbell ring today versus 20 years ago, how different it is, right? You know, diving under tables and, right? I want, please, don't let this go crickets, because then I'm going to think there's something wrong. If you don't call me, I'm going to think there's something wrong. If you don't, please, all right, don't do that to me. All right, I'm being honest with you. Make me feel like it's okay. Make me feel like it's okay. All right? So, I have a few minutes early, so I'm going to go ahead and close in prayer. All right? Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for our time together. Thank you for the blessing of this body of believers. Thank you, Father, for the love that we have one for another. And thank you, Father, for the permanency of our Lord Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In his name we pray. Amen.